This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline 1-800-913-4653.
It's the Pat and Stu Show. I'm Pat. This is Stu. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to lead the show with a question today.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who really won the argument this morning?
Who do you think? I mean, seriously.
Jeffy, were you there for this?
No.
He was not in the room at the time, but maybe you could turn on your microphone.
Yeah, you'd have to do that first.
I can't even hear right now.
Very helpful.
In case you missed the radio program today, there was news that broke that Pat Gray and Glenn Beck had a vicious, is that the right word? Vicious argument about some unnamed topic. I mean, we got a little bit of what it was about, but not much.
It was religious in nature.
Religious in nature.
And so when I came back into the room afterwards, I said, you know, in this room, we should never discuss religion and politics.
That seems like the thing you should discuss most.
Yeah, it does. It does. And but I don't know if it was as vicious as he kind of let it. Let everybody know.
That's an interesting.
He did get testy.
He does.
And
at times.
And I said, "You're getting pretty testy." And he said, "Well, he accused me of perhaps accusing him of certain things."
Oh man! So it ended nicely.
It did.
Is also the least interesting part of it. I don't care at all if it
ended
nicely. I care about
the religious war
that happened in that
room.
There
was actually an engineer in the room at the time. You can maybe talk to him about some of the things that were discussed.
Get the real story?
Yeah.
Because I think there might be some investigative reporting, Jeffy, that you and I should do on this particular incident, maybe for this program. You know, I would like to know the truth. I would like to know the truth because we know something happened.
I will say Glenn is a more tolerant person right now that I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew?
Uh-huh. I mean, I would never have guessed that to be the case 25 or 30 years ago, but it's definitely true now.
It's absolutely true.
It's absolutely
tolerant
true.
Of what? I mean, you're tolerant of certain things, but
certain
not of
things.
Others.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right.
He's more tolerant
religiously than I am.
Yes.
And he takes a lot more flack than I would.
Yes.
And he's, I guess I could just say he's going through a situation with a school right now because my school is ending.
Is that still going on?
Yeah, so my school is ending, and we've decided, okay, Glenn and I have lost enough money on this thing. Okay, time to cut our losses and move on to something else. So we're actually turning over the 501c3 aspect of it to somebody in a different part of the Metroplex, mm-hmm. where this thing is catching fire a little bit, and so they'll be able to carry it on.
That's
over
great.
There. So it's really good. But in the meantime, he's got to find a place for his kids because they're still in school. Now, mine are a little bit older, and so they've already been past that stage. So he's in a school, and things are happening there that I just wouldn't be a part of. I mean, mm-hmm. it's ugly. And I kind of shared that with him.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay.
And I think
your point is you shouldn't put up with those things. And his point is I have to or I want to.
Yes. And we've got to find common ground. And he's looking for common ground, not just on the air, but in his life. I mean, he's really taking this unity thing to heart. And so he's kind of leading that attack. And for me, I wouldn't unify with these people.
Well, there you go. So that was the basis of the argument.
Yeah, it was the basis of it. Yeah.
And again, who won? Well, you
I
didn't
did.
Get that.
I did.
Okay, so now that's confirmed?
Yeah, it's confirmed.
You won. If I asked Glenn who won, who would win?
He'll have to say me.
He would say you.
Yeah, if he wants to be any kind of honest, he'd have to say me.
See, this is what happens in the Trump administration all the time. They're just like, there's somebody in there going, by the way, did you hear what Reince said about you, Don?
Yeah.
Do you hear about that?
Who, you know
by
that's
the way,
going on.
I know you guys had that big argument. Who won that argument? Was it you, Don, or was it Reince? That's how this is. We're getting all these reports. There's someone in there stirring it up every day.
And
I'm
going
to try to do that. I'm going to try to do that here so we can get some good reporting out of this studio.
And there's some breaking news, apparently, from the Trump camp, and they're demanding that Congress investigate Barack Obama right now. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer tweeted a request that Congress investigate the Obama administration. Actually, he did that yesterday morning, so it's not as breaking as you might believe. President Trump is requesting that as part of their investigation into Russian activity, the congressional intelligence committees exercise their oversight authority to determine whether the executive branch investigate powers that were abused in the executive branch's investigative powers were abused in 2016. I don't know. I guess there was a FISA court hearing. Surveillance was legally approved by a FISA court. And if that's true, it would be an issue.
Everyone's just playing with the language here, right? I mean, because Donald Trump is Donald Trump, he tweeted that his phones were tapped at Trump Tower. Now, there's no evidence that is true. What seems like it's true is they were doing an investigation on the Trump ties to the Trump organization's ties and the campaign's ties to Russians, which we all knew. We talked about it during the campaign. They obviously, with Manafort and Flynn particularly, came up with stuff that was enough to get Manafort kicked off the campaign and Flynn to be fired.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was obviously something or something that made the Trump camp uncomfortable. At least to the point of, like, maybe not uncomfortable internally, but uncomfortable as how it would be perceived. So we knew that was happening. Likely, they probably did catch conversations with Trump if he was talking to his top people.
Possibly.
You know,
here's the tweet. And, I mean, this is so unpresidential as to almost not even worthy of reading, but he tweets, "Terrible!" Exclamation point. "Just found out that Obama had my wires tapped in Trump Tower just before the victory. Nothing found. This is McCarthyism." Oh, geez. First of all, it's always the left that screams McCarthyism. Because there were some good aspects of McCarthyism. There were communists in the government that had to be rooted out. I mean, there were communists in the government. And there was a definite concerted effort to infiltrate our government by the Soviets. And had there not been a hearing, who knows where we'd be today? Who knows? Now, the hearing that got a little out of control was the House Committee on Un-American Activities. That was a whole different deal. But the McCarthy hearing was a fairly decent... I mean, if you really look into it, there was some merit to it. There was some merit. Did it go too far in some cases? I don't know. I think the House Committee on Un-American Activities certainly did. But I don't even know that McCarthy did. I don't know. Anyway,
right.
For Trump to be saying this with zero evidence and presenting nothing to back it is so irresponsible.
It's, you know, again, this is just his way of presenting information.
That's
it's
horrible.
One of my favorite things that the internet has come to accomplish on a with this stuff. I don't know if this would entertain you at all, but it entertains me quite a bit, which is Trump will tweet something and it blows up into this big story. And then afterwards, people go back and try to figure out where Trump got it from and the moment it happened. And like, without exception, there is like some story on Fox News where a guest mentions it and then 6 minutes later, Trump tweets it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's funny because this one, I think, was this particular one was a Breitbart story was published almost immediately. So when he says just found out, you think in your head the president, he had some intelligence briefing. No, it's like just some story on Breitbart. That's how he just found out. And it's like,
oh my gosh.
Again, you know, I don't, is there anything to this? I don't know. We don't know all the information yet. You know, people are like, well, Mark Levin made a great case. Look, Mark's very smart. I'm sure he made a great case on it. And a lot of the stuff was known. I mean, we listed a bunch of the headlines today of the way it's been covered. I don't think that the way Trump presented it, I don't think there's any evidence of that actually happening. Of Barack Obama saying, you know what? Tap Donald Trump's phones. I want to know what he's saying during this campaign. Like, there's no evidence of that. However, there was evidence of wiretapping of conversations with some of his top people. And if it wasn't abused, that's great. But the idea that that sort of power can exist and we just hope it's not abused is a major problem for our electoral process going forward. Now, the guy, I don't know if anyone remembers this, won. He won the election. So if this happened, it's something to look at. It's something to look at to examine for future rule changes. It's something to look at because we want to hold the people responsible if it was abused. However, to make this the big story right now, when all of this other stuff is going on, to me makes no sense. And I'm sick of allowing the media and Donald Trump to drag us around in whatever direction we're supposed to be. I mean, I don't care about this right now. Is it something that should be looked at? Yes.
I'm so with you on that.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm so with you. I don't care. I really don't care.
When I
saw it on the Drudge Report over the weekend, I'm like, why do I have to look at this all the time? And then it hit me. I don't have to look at it.
I never do.
I mean, to the Drudge Report if I don't want to.
Only like if, you know, sometimes one of us or someone will tweet links to like, hey, this is on the Drudge Report right now.
Yeah.
I never go to the Drudge Report by choice to look to see what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Never.
To be honest, I'm so disinterested with what's going on with this administration. Until they do something, you know, really profound, until they do something really meaningful in my life, I don't care. I don't care about this phone tapping thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, is it an important issue if it happened? Yes. Is it an important issue if it didn't happen?
I just don't believe it happened.
Right.
I don't believe.
So isn't it
like you said? I don't believe Barack Obama instructed the CIA or the FBI or anybody else to go tap Donald Trump's phones at Trump Tower. It just doesn't make any sense.
And first of all, they all thought they were going to win by 10 points. So yeah. I mean, they didn't think they had to do that. But also now even James Comey, who I guess is now the villain again in the world. I can't remember. You know who's going to come out of this as a potential presidential candidate in 2020? James Comey.
Yeah.
Because he's the only guy who's pissed off everybody. At some point, you never know, right? You never know how these things play out. But if everyone gets annoyed at both sides, he could be the guy who comes out, look, I said Hillary Clinton was corrupt. I said Donald Trump was corrupt.
I'm running as an independent.
I'm running as an independent. Elect me. This guy's setting himself
he might
up
win.
Well.
He might win in this day and age.
Because he is the only person who seems to ever come out against both sides. But again, he's saying that like this is not the way this went. Now, that's not to say that there isn't evidence of wiretapping of officials. Was Trump's voice caught on some of those recordings? Probably, right? I mean, if
he was talking to somebody who was dealing with the Russians like Manafort.
Right.
Probably.
If they had Manafort's phones tapped at that point, there's a good chance because Trump probably was calling Manafort all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a chance? Yeah. It's not the way Trump's saying it, most likely. And it's not the way, like, I mean, I saw the media this weekend saying this is Trump baseless or falsely accuses Obama of X, Y, and Z. It's very possible he did falsely accuse him of that. However, we have none of the information. How is CNN, as an editorial journalistic situation, taking the position of it's false already? Like, you can say he provided no evidence. That's fair. You can say, well, we don't know what his case is because there's nothing out there to prove it. But to say that it's false now is jumping the gun, too. The media is doing the same thing.
It's true.
And that's why I liked Marco Rubio. I don't know if we have Rubio on docket for today. Do we have Rubio's quote on here? We had it for radio, and we never wound up playing it. But basically what Rubio said was, look, I don't know what he's referring to. I haven't seen the evidence. If there's evidence, it'll come out. If not, then we'll have to figure out what he was talking about. Isn't that the right position right now?
Yes.
We know nothing about this. Instead, we're supposed to jump to the final conclusion. We are supposed to either say the administration is the worst ever or the best ever based on Donald Trump's tweets. I just refuse to be a part of that. Yeah. I'm not obsessed enough about this guy and the stuff he says or the media and what they say. I'd rather focus on things that actually matter. And right now, when it comes to politics, what matters is Obamacare and tax cuts. You're hearing zilch about tax cuts. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's all after Obamacare, in theory. And the same thing with Obamacare. All we're hearing now is, well, they want to come up with a replacement first. The replacement's behind closed doors. We don't know what's in it. It looks like Obamacare Lite. Ryan, you know, this is bad stuff. And, you know, the tax thing, the only thing we're hearing about the tax cut plan is that there's going to be a giant border adjustment tax, which you might notice that is basically a tariff. And that's going to be attached to it. That's not good either. None of this. We need to get these things moved along. And the way to do it is not to get Donald Trump all focused on these other side projects. But he just cannot withhold himself. Remember, Pat, we came back here, what was it, last Tuesday or Wednesday? We came out of this show and saying, what a great speech Donald Trump made. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job. Now, there's a lot of policy issues we had with it, but his tone was great. If this is Donald Trump, he's going to be really successful and popular. The next day, he's tweeting about Arnold Schwarzenegger's ratings.
Yeah, so ridiculous.
I mean, he said in the speech, the time for petty disputes is over. The next day, he tweeted about Arnold Schwarzenegger's Apprentice ratings.
And then people wonder why we didn't vote for him. Hello. It's so clear. I will say this, though. I mean, these protests going on against him right now from the left
They're ridiculous.
Are insanity. And why is the media not focused on this Berkeley thing where they're beating Trump supporters? They physically are going violent and beating Trump supporters. That never happened with the Tea Party. And it was the most violent, extreme, racist organization of all time. Mm-hmm. There's actual violence going on. People getting hurt right now. Not a word. Not a stinking word about it. It's unbelievable.
There's I'm going to screw this up because I'm doing it out of memory. But it was a libertarian professor. And we've talked about his work before. Who was doing a speech at, I think, Middlebury in Vermont. You see this story, Jeffy? I think it was Middlebury College. By the way, that's my way of saying, hey, Jeffy, can you look this up to see if I'm screwing it up right now?
And by the way, Jeffy doesn't pick up on that.
No, I didn't read about it. 18 milk.
I will say, Jeffy usually does pick up on that little thing. as unprofessional.
Oh, did I go too far
there's
already?
There's not a chance of looking it up now.
Did I go too far already? Come on.
It's Monday.
That's the first comment of the day.
Oh, wow.
I was on your side today, too, but I now believe I believe Glenn won.
So it was in Middlebury, and he was harassed, by liberal supporters who came in there to yell at him. Obviously, liberal protesters, and he was harassed, and assaulted. Is that the right word? And I think it was the Washington Post that covered it. It was like professor who has been called a white supremacist. Protested in Vermont.
Oh my God.
Or something like that. Jesus. It's like, wait a minute. The guy, first of all, he's not a white supremacist.
Well, he's been called that. Can you deny it?
He has been called it? Probably by those people. but there's no evidence of that.
Bad.
And, you know, and what happens? He gets. So that story is about him being a white supremacist and and he was protested. No, he was assaulted and he's not a white supremacist. He's a libertarian leaning thinker and a really accomplished guy. Bizarre.
Can you guarantee he has not been called? a white supremacist?
I can guarantee he has been called a white supremacist. Okay, in fact, in that article, right, they called him a white supremacist.
There you
so
go.
There you go. There he you has go. Been called a white supremacist. That's not really a standard, though, right?
Like, well,
you know
it what? Didn't used to
For
be.
For example,
I'll tell you, it didn't used to be.
Let me give you something that the left would not do. If Barack Obama was assaulted in some speech, they would not say a president who was called a racist protested at speech, because Glenn Beck called him a racist. Y'all remembered it. So yeah. I assume that now you would apply that same standard.
We should start applying that standard.
Yeah. The President Obama, who obviously had been, you know, been called a racist, has yes, by us.
That's
not
so
a fair
good.
Standard.
I love that.
Jeffy, do we have the details on that story?
We do not.
Okay, we'll give you a moment. Take a positive step towards self-reliance in the meantime while Jeffy looks for this.
Even if you had them, you wouldn't give them to me now.
That's true.
It wasn't even me. I was giving you credit. You usually.
No, he's just mad though. I mean that took nothing this week.
No, he's like
he came
he's
in
a little
sensitive
testy.
Today. Wow.
What is the?
What's the matter, pumpkin?
Let me ask
you. Okay?
Can I ask a follow up? Can I ask a follow up question?
Come on.
My follow up question is: what is the current state of the eating going on right now with Jeff Fisher? Are you still on this weight loss binge?
I am.
See, this is the problem.
How much have you lost?
He's angry.
12 pounds.
He's lost
nice.
12 pounds and he's angry
nice.
Because he's lost 12 pounds. And life sucks when you lose 12 pounds.
No, it doesn't.
It's good that you lost the 12 pounds, but you want to eat like a pig and you're not able to. And that does suck.
That sucks.
That does
right?
suck.
Right? Am I right?
There might be something to that.
There may be some truth.
All right. Well, you want to make sure you can continue to eat. You don't want to lose, there are certain situations where you could lose a lot of weight, like get down to your birth weight.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And you don't want that. And that's where My Patriot Supply comes in. You can prepare for any emergency situation with these guys.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about easy to prepare emergency food. Tastes like home cooking. And, well, first of all, you're going to be cooking it at home. So, hopefully.
Yeah.
So it actually would be home cooking. Of course, you're just adding water, so it's nice and easy. And it lasts up to 25 years.
Things like pizza, too. And really delicious stew and soup and like
pudding.
Fettuccine Alfredo.
Pudding.
Oh my gosh. Mm. Pudding.
I love pudding.
Come on. How much better is that than buying a bucket of wheat? A lot. A lot better.
Considerably?
Yeah.
Considerably better.
And you can get 4 weeks. And look, I've done it both ways. I like this a lot better. Get 4 weeks of easy to prepare food for $99. And they throw in free shipping too.
Yep. 888-411-5290 is their number. 888-411-5290 or preparewiththeblaze.com. It's preparewiththeblaze.com. Go there now while you're thinking about it.
Hi, it's Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK, and the lovely Jeffy.
Ugh.
Look at him. Doesn't he look good today? Aww. You look good over there.
Hey, Jeffy, have you lost some weight?
Have you lost
no.
like, you
no,
look
I
like
haven't.
You've lost
no, I
like
haven't.
A dozen pounds or so.
No, I haven't. I'm 642 pounds.
No, I don't believe it. I won't hear
so
that.
So you've lost more than 12.
Thank you.
See what you did?
I couldn't keep
it going. See what you did?
I have been watching, however, Jeffy, recently. My wife is very into my 600 pound
life. Oh my gosh,
life.
I can't. I know.
My 600 pound life?
Yes, have you watched this yet?
My 600 pound life.
I can't watch
supersized,
it.
Supersized, by the way, is it?
Wait, what do you mean supersized?
That's the, I mean, at least the one I watched, the last one I watched with, what's
Is that
face?
What it's called?
It's My 600 pound life, supersized.
Interesting, because does that mean a longer episode or they're like 700 pounds? Because I will say, it's interesting, they keep finding people right around 600
pounds.
No, this
lady, yeah. I mean, this lady, when she stepped on the scale originally.
Your mic is really.
Something's wrong with it, yeah.
When she stepped on the scale originally.
Me? No, it's not. It is not touching my shirt. They're like, it's you. It's not me.
Is it me?
Oh.
No, I don't think so.
Hello?
Is it me?
We're testing now. 1, 2, 3. Testing.
Hi.
Testing.
Hello?
While we're on the air, we're testing all of our microphones.
Hello?
Hello?
No. Yeah, because
No, there's something.
I think it's Jeffy's.
Jeffy, move around. I'll tell you what. Turn down my microphone and Steven's.
Yeah, let's play the game here.
And
here
let's listen to Jeffy's alone.
Microphone roulette.
Hello. Tell me when I get to 3, 2, 3.
No!
Boy, there's almost no delay.
All right, great.
Hello.
Back up. Okay, so it's apparently not yours.
Not Jeffy's.
It's either
Pat's.
Mine or yours.
Let's try Pat's next.
All right, turn down Stu and turn down Jeffy, and we're going to find out. If it's my microphone causing the problem. It's not. Apparently mine either.
Okay, now you can come back to me. So it must be me.
It's you. It's your mic.
But I'm not, obviously, as you can tell, I am not. Okay. It's not touching my clothing.
You can turn this back up. We have the culprit.
You can turn up Pat.
No more calls, please. We do have a winner. It is Stu's microphone. So he needs a new one because that's not touching his.
It wasn't touching my clothing or anything. So.
Oh, that's really weird.
All right. So
that's really weird.
Well, I guess I got to break off.
I don't think that's how it works, but. Oh, okay.
So anyway, my 600-pound life, supersized.
Yeah.
This lady, when she first went in to get weighed at the fat doctor in Houston, she was like 6'42 or 6'45. And I mean, that she said she hadn't weighed herself in a couple of years. So she was of course, devastated. You know, I was like,
where do you get a scale that goes up that high?
Oh, they've got the big, they have the big semi-scale.
Oh, really?
It's not a semi-scale, but they've got the big stand-up scale that they help you stand on at the fat guy doctor's office.
So she has to be weighed at truck stops is what you were trying to allude to.
I've been told about that joke for years. I get to use it once in a while.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's good. All right, so what happened? She weighed at 642.
Yeah, then she was the doctor was still pissed at her because she lost 41 pounds or something, and she was supposed to lose 50, so she was still like at 6.
Okay.
And he was like, you didn't lose the 50, and you can still continue on the diet, but we're not giving you the gastric bypass until you lose at least another 100 pounds. So I'm out. I mean, he's a stickler, man. I mean, first of all, he's a stickler because it's their health.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really is about them and their health because they're going to.
Is it, or is he just kind of douchey?
I think a little bit of both, actually. I mean, this is a pretty good gig for him.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, he seems like a little bit of a.
Is he like
doc.
A famous Houston surgeon?
Yeah. Mm. Famous, you know, fat doc.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name now.
Yeah. I wonder if that's who my friend in Houston went to.
I wouldn't surprise
because me. he had that surgery, that bypass or whatever, that gastric stomach staple or. I don't know what one of those procedures where it can be really dangerous. I think I've talked about that before.
Yes.
Lost two friends to that surgery. Two out of three. Two out of three have died.
That's amazing.
And you know what Meatloaf said? Two out of three ain't bad.
It is in this case.
It is bad in this case. Yes.
In this case.
It's a good
yes,
point.
Yes, it is. Do you remember the Dr. Douche's name?
I don't remember his name, but I think you'll find
he
this
is kind
interesting.
Of
so is she up to 700 now or what?
No. She's lost. She's still losing. Yeah. She lost.
Oh, good.
She had the surgery. They went in, and this lady from Seattle to Washington, her family went with her to Houston. They got to move to Houston, get with the doc every week, once a month.
Wow.
And, I mean,
they had
it's
to
a
move
big
to
deal.
Houston?
Yeah. They moved her from here, and once she.
Can you imagine a 600-pound person moving from Seattle, where the weather is great, I mean, at least for a fat person, to Houston, where the weather is so miserable.
She had not been in a car for a long time. They put her in a van. They brought firemen and ambulance guys to help get her into this van for the road trip.
I think I saw this one,
man.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, it was bad.
Obviously, she couldn't walk, or could she?
Barely. Still barely mobile, but
this isn't the 23-year-old, right?
No. This is Diana, I think, is her name.
Yeah, all the episodes are the same. Every time I talk to somebody about the show, they're like, "And this happened," and I'm like, "Oh wow, I think I saw that one."
No, that's Bill.
Oh, actually, the woman I saw was black and had only one arm. So actually, no, it's not the same person.
Not the same one at all.
What's interesting about this doctor is he must be the greatest doctor. In the world.
But he's got to be the only one, right?
The reason I say that is because he is, and I mean this sincerely, the least interesting character I've ever seen on television.
Right.
He has no personality. He can barely speak full sentences.
He's really not that much of a in shape guy himself.
He's not really in shape himself.
Mm.
And he he has no facial expressions. We have to play video of this guy. He just comes in and goes, you lost 42 pounds and you were supposed to lose 50 pounds.
So how is your diet? You're not far. Are you following the diet plan?
It's like, seriously, because he's from, obviously,
India.
He's from
probably,
India.
Yeah.
So he's from another country. And you know, but he must just be the greatest doctor. Because there's no reason to cast him on the show. Like, He is so non-television. Like, if someone came to you and said, like, you got to build a show, this would be the ultimate show you would not build because, A, you're showing a bunch of half-naked or totally naked 600-pound people, which is not attractive. Mm-hmm. Then you're showing them have surgery on themselves, which is really, really disgusting. Yeah. And then in addition to that, the doctor has no personality. So, like, there's nothing happening of interest, yet I've watched, like, 10 episodes of it.
Dr. Yonan Nazoarden.
Where's Yonan from?
Gastric bypass surgeon extraordinaire.
Yonan is from India. I'm guessing, right? Is he from India? Does it say on his place of birth?
I assume that this is the place you go when you're 600.
It's got to be, right? He's the guy.
I mean, there's probably not that many people. So he's got to be with such expertise in this area.
A lot of big doctors in Houston, you know. It's a big medical area.
Right. You'd think you'd be
able to. Medical center.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily. And there has to be 5 doctors in America that are doing surgery on 600-pound people.
And most of their patients are not dying. Yeah,
right.
Because that's an important element in this surgery.
That's true.
Because they can. They can.
Well, and that's. I think Jeffy was talking about this when I was getting my new mic put on, but it's like they basically say no to every one of them. I mean, it's just like these like house repair shows where like they're always down to the last minute and they can't get it. Every episode I've ever seen of the show is like, you need to lose 50 pounds and they lose like 40. Mm-hmm. And then they come back and they have to, okay, well, you come back in a month and you have to lose 30 pounds and we'll do the surgery. And they come back and they've lost 22. And then they finally at some point get over that, or they don't, they come close. Mm-hmm. Like the last one I saw was like, you needed to lose 35 pounds and you only lost 29. But I think that's good. I was like, well, why did you tell her 35 then?
Well, they want to get his idea of it is to get
the commitment, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And the plan of the eating and the buying into the diet.
Because it's not going to do them any good if you do the surgery and then they go right back to their old habits.
Right. Which many of them do. And like this lady, the one couldn't get it. He went in to do the surgery and couldn't actually do the full bypass.
Why?
She was going to be on the table too long. He was worried about her kicking the bucket.
And then right at that time, a steak was in the way. There was just a rogue steak was in the place where he went to cut. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
What's a sandwich doing here?
But I saw one a couple of weeks. And of course, they all seem, and this is really going to depress you if you're single, but all these people seem to be either married or in serious relationships. Like there's never, none of them are ever like single. They always have the dopey boyfriend
always have the enabler, man. You gotta have the enabler,
right? And they all have the enabler. They always show them going through a drive-thru and like, I'll have 3 value meals. And like, I mean, these are not glandular issues, right? They ate themselves there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty incredible.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And, you know, to be honest, there's part of me that says, A, like, hey, I'm not that person at least. Like, there's part of me that watches it because I'm glad I'm not that, which I feel like I could be at any moment. Oh. Two, it's a motivator. Like, you don't want to necessarily become the 600-pound person on the TV show, so maybe I'll skip that next cupcake. However, I have found many times I do eat my way through the show, which is not a
And you know why that is because it's the opposite takes place. You watch it thinking, you know, I'm going to watch this and I'm going to feel good. I watch it because I want to feel good about myself. And
then you feel so good, you have a bowl of ice cream.
Right.
You feel so good.
Look, that bowl, that half gallon of ice cream isn't going to make me 600 pounds.
Oh, my.
Oh, that's the sex lady.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we don't need support. That's the fat segment.
She actually makes quite a bit of money on YouTube.
Seriously?
Having her boyfriend feed her.
I mean this seriously. People. We don't need support.
Yeah, there's boyfriend.
Does she have a butt in the front?
People pay her. Yes, she had it surgically put in there.
That's not... Don't show me. You're the one doing it. I don't want to be part of this.
All right. She makes good money. The boyfriend feeds her. They have shake time.
I know. No more Jeffy segment here. That's coming up later in the show.
All right. In the meantime, did you know that the air in your home could be polluted? Yeah. If you're watching this kind of stuff, it probably is. Could be as much as 5 times more polluted than the air outside.
Yeah. Indoor air pollutants are a big deal. They cause problems. You know, and some of them aren't huge maybe to you, like allergies, but
it's
asthma, cardiovascular conditions can be made worse. And asthma is a big deal, but allergies are a big deal. I mean,
a really big deal.
I didn't really suffer
with them.
I didn't have an issue with them until I moved down here.
Oh, really?
And lately, I have been having an issue with them. And
welcome to Texas.
We've been running the Alexa Pure Breeze in our bedroom for the last couple of weeks. And it's, you know, it's great because you can tell when it's working. It has this little swirly line on the front that lights up. So when it's red, you can tell that it's having issues with the air and it's filtering things. When it's blue, your air is clean. So you kind of know when it's working. And it's the other thing too is I'm a stickler. Like it's when I sleep, it needs to be the right conditions. And it's the Alexa Pure Breeze is nice and it's
quiet.
It's quiet. Like I think it actually has a silent mode too. But I actually like the little tiny fan. Like not too loud, just a little nice, soothing, consistent sound. It's nice.
Yeah, I like that too. It uses an innovative four-stage filtration process. That's why it traps more junk that's in your air than the other filters do. An advanced true HEPA filter. So get your Alexa Pure Breeze. It's just $199.95. Buy it today and then start breathing easy tomorrow.
Okay. 888-895-7746 is the number, or online at getalexapure.com. It's getalexapure.com or 888-895-7746. Call now.
O.J. Simpson could be released on parole this year, which is good, I think, because this is way too long for the crime he's serving time for.
Absolutely.
They gave him a sentence for Nicole and Ronald Goldman with this crime.
Right. Because
where he's trying to take back his own paraphernalia.
Right.
Granted, he did it in a really bad way.
And there's video of him holding a gun at people, basically holding them hostage, which is kind of an issue.
But nobody was actually shot.
No.
There were nobody hurt. He just took his
stuff. He's trying to get his stuff back.
Well, and that's the thing. That's not actually confirmed either. He thought it was his stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know that it was.
But he's been in prison since 2008. Okay,
time's up.
You're going on time's 10 up. Years on this dumb little charge. Now
it's not a dumb. I
10
years
still,
is a lot of time.
It is a lot of time
for that.
And I find I still have loyalties to this guy.
You're not alone.
I find I still have some sort of sympathy toward him. Maybe I don't fully believe he killed his wife. Maybe I'm such a. I was such an O.J. Simpson fan as a kid it just never really clicked that he's a double murderer.
I see him walking to court when they show him walking to court in the pictures of the old O.J. and I still have it's O.J. Simpson.
Yeah,
yeah. Remember, yep. I think
that's the juice.
This is like you had an ingrained belief about this person, and time heals wounds, right? Like,
yes.
I mean, remember, even if you don't believe he somehow don't believe he killed his wife, he definitely beat the crap out of her. That is absolutely 100% confirmed over and over again. So he was not a good guy.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. There should be no sympathy really for him.
And I don't have any sympathy for him. However, I do have sympathy for our legal process. And you know, I don't know. The case itself was not nothing, but it was something. It was holding somebody hostage.
Yeah, it was a year in prison, maybe.
If he didn't,
he's on parole in 8 months, something like that.
I think if he didn't have the murder, the pesky little murder, but again, the one he was acquitted of.
He was acquitted.
If he didn't have that in his past, it would be more of a shorter term. I think because he also had the domestic violence in his past, there'd be a good chance that it would be a bigger sentence than the...
Maybe.
You know, if
it was
Jeffy
the use of the gun, too. I don't remember Jeffy's the whole story now, but I mean, it was the use of the gun that got him...
Yeah, I mean, look,
you can't... They were so angry with him, right?
No matter whether you think the stuff is yours or not, you can't hold a gun at someone and keep them in a hotel room against their will. That is not something you're allowed to do in our society. I mean, maybe Jeffy's done it a couple times, but you're not supposed to do it.
Don't you
remember at the end of one of those... I think it was the documentary that just won, by the way, Best Documentary Oscar.
Yeah.
O.J. ESPN. Made in America, which, again, I don't understand why it was an Oscar if it was on ESPN.
They must have played it at a theater.
Like, they played it in one theater one time to get the award. But at the end of that, they went through that trial a little bit. I think it was that documentary. I watched a bunch of O.J. stuff right around that period. And I think it was that one. They went through that scenario, and it was worse than I remembered it. Because initially I was like, come on, they're just putting him in jail because they want to put him in jail for the murder. It was a little bit worse. And it was completely unnecessary. I mean, this guy... He had beat the rap. you know, he was out again. Like I'm not happy he beat the rat, but like if you're in his mindset, you killed your wife, you got away with it. Yeah. What the hell are you taking a gun to somebody about any sort of memorabilia from your stupid career?
He needed money though.
Not the smartest guy in the world. He According was actually making a lot of money.
He was actually doing okay. He was doing okay money wise.
Yeah, he was.
It wasn't a money issue. It was to him, it was a principle issue. Uh-huh. He believed it was taken from him. Now, it does not seem like it actually was, which is another bizarre part of this.
Okay, but that having been said, all right, 10 years.
Yeah, right, 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years is crazy.
Come on now.
Now, his life has changed quite a bit. His Rockingham house was bulldozed. Mm-hmm. He moved to Florida all before this jail thing, and then now he spent 10 years in jail. Comes out, if he gets out this year, which he may or may not, he'll be 69 years old.
Yeah, he's an old man, though.
69 years old. I mean,
at some point, you just do an interview. Does he do an interview where he's like, you know?
Well, what's his face? One of his former friend, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Ron? The cop.
Yeah. One of his best friends.
Yeah. Who believes fully that he killed Nicole.
And didn't initially.
And didn't initially, but does now. And he said that he thought O.J. would. And I don't know if he was just looking for publicity or whatever, but he said O.J. will eventually. Because he's too egomaniacal not to fess up and say, yeah, I did it and got away with it.
He did write a book called If I Did It.
Yeah, so weird.
That is one of the strangest things in American history.
Trying to help?
What?
Trying to help?
No, he was not trying to help.
No.
I mean, and this is, it gets lost to people because, I mean, you know, it's been a long time, but the guy murders two people, gets off, and then writes a book that describes how he would have murdered those two people if he had murdered those two people.
And then at the but I didn't. Never mind.
And like you go through the book and there's like specifics in there, like which direction he drove and why he would have gone a different way. And it's bizarre. And of course, it was so controversial at the time, the book never got released. It was actually never released, although I think it was eventually did get out there. Because I think, you know, they were trying to recoup some of their money. So the Goldmans, I mean, wanted the money from the book, I'm sure. But I mean, what a
Because they never got a penny from him. They never got a penny. That's pretty amazing. It's an amazing story.
It is a fan.
But, you know, I was watching NFL Network a week or two ago, and they had an O.J. Simpson thing on. And you see him at his prime, and you see how he was.
You want him to be.
Yeah, you just want him to be innocent. I wanted him so badly to be innocent.
I wanted him to be innocent, too, at the time.
And I really thought, okay, there's no way O.J. Simpson murdered his wife.
And
Come
according
on.
To a jury, he didn't.
And according to a jury. He didn't, and that's the American system.
They didn't have enough evidence to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't know if that they didn't. That's not the standard that we use in our legal system. He didn't do it. They didn't say that.
Well, he was not guilty.
Right. He was not. They did not have the evidence to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. A reasonable doubt. That does not mean he's innocent. And as you see in the civil trial with a lower standard of proof, he was guilty. I mean, I think the documentary did such a good job outlining the feeling of that time, which was black people saw it as you're coming after our own. Again, this is not my take on this. This is theirs. And they said the black community saw this as, I don't care if he's guilty, you're not taking our guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And by the way, that wasn't just the documentary's vibe. It was one of the jurors.
Yeah.
One of the jurors they interviewed.
That was despicable.
Despicable to let a murderer off because you think your community is under siege. When this guy was the last thing in the world he was, his wife he killed was a white woman.
Not to mention the fact that all the civil rights leaders of the time were pissed at him because he wanted no part of the movement. He was popular with white people. He didn't want to. He didn't want to trash him.
And you know,
he didn't want to come after him.
They made that out to be very negative in the movie, and I looked at it as much more positive because it really what he wanted was not to be involved in all the nonsense. He wanted people to be able to escape to football and deal with football and not have to
It's hard
political
to blame him.
And I understand
He wanted to play football. He wanted to be popular. He didn't want to do a political thing.
But what's so interesting about it, Pat, and we got to take a break. I know we're super late. We might have to move Jeffy time to next hour. Jeffy, I know you're very sad about that. But the movie itself made a very convincing case that the reason O.J. got off for murder was because the community, the black community, didn't want, okay, didn't want to have one of their own taken because they had so much unjust behavior before treatment mm-hmm. before that. They weren't going to allow this to happen, and to me that says, well, that's not a just result. Right. I mean, you know, the juror saying I didn't care if he was guilty. I was voting him innocent anyway, because it was about something bigger. That's a negative. Yet when they win the award, they win the Oscar, they come out and they say, by the way, this goes to all the victims of, you know, we won this and we want to dedicate it to all the victims of police brutality. It's like, well, that's the you're enforcing the same things that led to this person mm-hmm. being acquitted of a murder. Two murders he absolutely committed. And then you're pushing that same narrative down the line. Now, obviously, there are victims of police brutality. If you want to keep it at a really limited scope, the statement can be true. But, man, I why would you further that after the whole point of your documentary mm-hmm. seems to be that this guy was let off because people felt emotional about a story that, you know, right or wrong, you know, they felt mistreated. I mean, that's not the way you're supposed to decide a legal case.
Well, but... Now, I kind of disagree with that, too, because that's what we pay lawyers for. That's what we want a good lawyer for. Yes, we want to follow the law, but we want to have that jury have feelings for us and feel bad for us.
OJ obviously made the right choice, and which one he fought initially, according to the documentary, did not want to use the racial angle. Well, he was the one resisting it against Johnny Cochran until about halfway through the process.
Because he knew it wasn't about race.
Yeah, he knew it never was.
888-727-BET. More Pat and Stu coming up.
Oh no, we lost Jeffy time today, Pat.
Oh no.
Oh, it's dead.
No,
it's dead as a doornail.
I'm right here, right?
Oh no. Now, you're here, but you can't do any material because I talked too long. Mm. Darn it.
I'm being called out over my O.J. Simpson support.
Yeah, let's see. Pat talking about O.J. sounds a heck of a lot like other diehards we know that defend at all costs.
No, because I'm admitting nothing really, no real reason to defend him other than I'm just a fan. I always have been. And
well, then it is pretty similar.
Yeah. Well, I'm admitting it. Fan. He's not.
Right.
He's not.
I will say, too, your defense.
Others don't.
You're not actually defending.
And I'm not saying he didn't do it. I don't know. I mean, I think he did.
Yeah. I mean, I think he definitely did it, and he should be in jail for the rest of his life, or killed, thanks to our death penalty for what he did.
Except California doesn't have one.
But they should implement it just for him.
Yeah.
Is that constitutional? Can you just implement it after the process? Can we get that done?
Hi and welcome, Pat and Stu, 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. According to the New York Post, Hollywood is bracing for another writer's strike. Now, what are they going on strike for? Don't they know there's income inequality? And some of these people are making $1 million a draft for a movie. $1 million just for the draft. TV writers make $3,000 to $6,000 a week. Multiply that by 4. And then by 12. And tell me they're underpaid. I mean... what about the people who are making $7 an hour? How come they're not worried about that? Union negotiating a fresh contract about every 3 years, but it's been a decade since the last strike, a stunning 100-day walkout that put Tinseltown Productions on ice. I remember that pretty well. Back in 2007, Deadline's erstwhile editor Nikki Finke chronicled the breakdown in negotiations between the big companies and the writers who write the shows. Consumers a decade ago had to live with fewer episodes of Heroes. But, you know, there's so few shows that are scripted now. Does it really matter? I mean, almost everything people watch is a reality show, isn't it?
No.
I know my girls watch The Bachelor. You were just talking about my 600-pound life.
Yeah, but there's
it's
plenty.
Not scripted.
I mean, we watch a lot of shows that are scripted.
Like? 24 scripted, right?
Yeah, but one of the guys, people who predict 24, they say a 55% chance it will be renewed. 55%. There's a guy. Do you know that's this? TV Grim Reaper or whatever. And they always, I like following him because he's just there. They always like, up, that's all it does. It's like, hey, this show's going to be canceled. This show's going to go on. And they're seemingly almost always right. And they have some formula that they put on these shows with ratings and, you know, whatever there goes into their algorithm. And they say 55% chance that that it will be renewed. So it's right on the bubble.
Wow.
Right on the bubble. The new that's 24 Legacy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeffy. Sorry.
I was just saying that most of those shows are all scripted. You watch the series on Netflix or any of those stuff. That's all scripted.
Well, but the writer's strike was what they say helped give rise to.
That's what I thought. The first reality. Right. That's what they did. The first one gave the reality, right? Because they said, okay, well, we'll do without you.
Yeah, and we'll just have to dump money into reality shows because there's no writers. And so that obviously lasted for a while.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger is leaving Celebrity Apprentice. It's apparently beneath him. Certainly the ratings are beneath everybody. They're really bad. And he blames Donald Trump for the ratings.
They're not
drop.
That bad. They're honestly not that bad. They're
not
good.
World.
They're not good, right, but they're not that bad. I mean, you know, go ahead. You can finish your thing, and we'll go through these ratings. You tell me, we'll figure it out together. We'll figure it out together, guys. We'll figure it out together.
Okay.
Do you have more to go on this? I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, he says with Trump being involved in the show, because he's still got producer credit.
Yes.
People have a bad taste and don't want to participate as a spectator or as a sponsor or in any other way support the show. It's a very divisive period now. And I think this show got caught up in all that division. This guy's supposed to be a Republican.
Right. You forget about that, actually.
Guy's supposed to be a Republican. And he's saying this about a Republican president.
Right. People consider us on the right, and we say plenty of critical things about Trump. He's, of course, criticizing him from the left, which is a difference. The other part of that is, I think it's actually true. I think his analysis is actually true. I'm not watching The Apprentice past season probably two anyway, but...
I've never watched a single episode.
Oh, really?
Really.
I watched a couple at the beginning. I watched, I would say, sub of that first season, for sure, and probably an episode or two after that at some
point. Maybe a little Celebrity Apprentice?
I never got into the celebrity one. That was way after I was gone. But that came around in 2000. I'll give you the date on that. 2007 was the first year of the celebrity version. Yeah. So, I mean, the show's been on since 2003. So it's interesting, though, that, like, I am not surprised to see the ratings go down, but they're going to go down anyway. I do think that part of it is people are like, because the people who like Trump don't want to give attention to Schwarzenegger. No. They don't want to go to it because they are saying, well, Trump is criticizing it. I'm with Trump. And the people who don't like Trump are saying to themselves, wait a minute. I don't want to be associated. I don't want to watch some stupid Trump show.
Yeah.
So like, there's no audience for it anymore. They really should have given it a break. I mean, it was stupid to try to bring it back this fast. Give it a break for a few years. Mm-hmm. You could bring back the concept again with somebody else later on, but there was no way this was going to work big time, bigly, as it were.
And it was, I watched an episode of it with Arnold, and it was not good.
Well, he's also not good. So Trump's criticism is correct in that, like, even if everything were equal, the ratings would go down.
And it is surprising that with Donald having an executive producer stamp on that show, that he tweets bad stuff about it. I mean, he wants something that is affiliated with him that doesn't have him specifically on it to do poorly, whether his name is on it or not. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. But I mean, you tell me, how bad are these ratings? Because I mean, the big criticism is the ratings are terrible. So the first year of The Apprentice, average viewers, 20.7 million. First year. 20.7. That's when Bill Rancic won.
But those were big days for TV numbers, too.
Yeah, that was 2003. They were bigger numbers. Right, so it's going to be big. Then it dropped from 20.7 to 16 million. Okay, that's year two. They actually kind of did two seasons. So they went 16, then 14. And now we're still in 2005. Okay, next year, 11 million. Next year, 9.7.
More than half.
Right. Next year,
53%.
Right. Next year is 7.5. Okay, now we're in 2007.
Oh my gosh.
So the ratings are so bad at that point,
wow.
They switched the show to Celebrity Apprentice. Okay? Right. Celebrity Apprentice starts 2007. They go back up to 11 million, then back to 9, 7.4, 8.8. So a little bit up in that 2011 series. And then they would go back again to Regular Apprentice. Now, this keep this number in mind for a second. Regular Apprentice gets $4.7 million on average. This is 2010, 2011. Okay? $4.7 million. Go back to Celebrity Apprentice again. They go from 8.8 to 7.1, then 5.6, then 7.6, and then a Schwarzenegger 4.9. Now, 4.9, you might remember, is actually higher than the last year of the Regular Apprentice. Higher. I mean, of course Trump's not going to. And, you know, it's a Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know who's on the show. They said Matt Eisman won. Do you know who Matt Eisman is?
Nope.
It wasn't a big celebrity apparently. At least, I mean, maybe I'm.
No, when I saw the previews, I don't think I recognized a single person on it.
So that's another part, because they had Penn Jillette, they had Piers Morgan, even they had at least
had
people
Brent
you knew.
Michaels from Poison.
Brent from Poison, yeah.
They had some celebrities.
So again, and if you take, because the last season Trump was on was 2014-2015, where they got 7.6 million, which was a very good, it was the best ratings they had had in a couple of years. If you go back to the season before that, it's the year that Trace Adkins won. Remember that?
Right. Kind of. Right.
5.6 million. That's 2013. 4 years later, he got 4.9 for Arnold. So 5.6 to 4.9 in 4 years, with the way the numbers are degrading anyway on television, is not that bad.
No, it is not.
And again, I think it was A, terrible, B, had no audience, C, it started off stronger and faded towards the end, where I didn't even know the finale even happened. I mean, did you know?
No.
I didn't even know the finale happened. It only got 3.5 million for the finale, which is by far the worst finale of the series. But the average was still 4.9 million.
Time to get to the chopper.
I mean, what was it? Was his catchphrase? Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby. Oh. Get to the chopper.
And by the way, if you're on the news today, can I just speak directly to people who are doing news stories about this? Please don't say. Please. I beg you. Don't say Arnold Schwarzenegger is leaving The Apprentice, so we all have to say hasta la vista, baby, to him.
That's way too late for that.
Yeah.
I heard, you know what? You way remember when, wasn't it Conan that did those things?
Yes.
We should go do that today.
Yes.
We should do all one of our own montages.
I heard it at least twice,
and I don't watch a lot of local news. It had to happen
across
all over the country, people saying hasta la vista, baby.
You know it did.
Oh, we got to do
that's
that.
That's a funny bit.
We got to do that.
So we've got to say hasta la vista, baby, to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's being reported today. KATV News.
Celebrity
Arnold Schwarzenegger
Apprentice.
Leaving The Apprentice.
Oh, so bad.
Hasta la vista,
so
Arnold.
Bad. And this is a really strange story. And Jeffy, I think you know more about this than I do. But Richard Simmons, the workout guru, has not been seen publicly for 1,095 days.
It's going on 3 years.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I followed this very little, just off and on a little bit. There's reports of him, you know, recovering from surgery and not doing well. There's inside reports, too, of people like some of his people that have taken care of him in his home and stuff have now just kind of keeping him almost hostage, you know, ruling his life. There's those kind of stories. There's stories of of him just being a regular guy and just wants to be out of the spotlight and still help people. So nobody really knows.
Wow. I mean, it just doesn't seem like in 2017 those stories can happen anymore. Because it used to be that people would disappear whenever they wanted. Now everyone's so, every moment of your life is so public, you know. And I say this as a man waging a 44-day battle against a balloon on my ceiling. Like, everyone knows everything about your life. And it's like, I can't imagine that he could just disappear like this without anyone knowing the story. It makes you jump immediately to the worst conclusions that, like, maybe
He's really sick. Or he's gained a lot of weight.
Right, yeah, it could be that. Or, you know, maybe he's dealing with God forbid, something like Alzheimer's or something like that, where he's just not able to come out and really communicate.
And it's possible,
anymore.
You know, I mean, they talked about him having a knee surgery and then, you know, he wouldn't be able to move. So it's definitely possible that, you know, he's ballooned back out.
And think of it, if he had, I mean, that would destroy his business, right?
Yeah, would it at 69? I don't know.
Is he 69?
Doesn't it say that in there?
Is Richard 69 already?
68.
Wow.
I mean... Mm. I don't know. I mean, he's 68 years old. If he got fat at the end, who cares?
If he got fat at the end.
You know, you're just like, so what?
But Richard is, I mean, he's a, I don't know if you ever, have you ever met him or been around him at all?
I mean, we've had him on the show. We've had him. We had him on the CNN show for sure. I remember that. I mean, that
he
incident.
He was a
great.
He's a character.
He's really nice.
He's a character.
Yeah, he is. He's a nice man.
My wife's grandma just turned 96, 95, 96. And it's like, at that point, you just get to eat whatever you want, right?
Yes.
I mean, are you stopping me from eating a hamburger? Are you stopping me from eating a mozzarella stick? I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want.
My mom's 92, and just about all she eats, graham crackers and ice cream. We're like, well, whatever.
If she wants to eat graham crackers and ice cream.
So what? What's that going to do, kill her now?
Right. Now the thing is, no. Has she eaten graham crackers and ice cream for the last 30 years?
Not 30, but for a while. But certainly since she was in her early 80s,
I think. So graham crackers. You could eat anything in the world you want.
She loves graham crackers.
Graham crackers and ice cream. What kind of ice cream? Vanilla?
In fact, it seems like toast has replaced the graham crackers.
I am a big fan of toast.
Yeah, she loves toast.
I love toast.
Hot chocolate. And ice cream.
You know,
and that's all they can get her to eat.
Does she butter her toast?
Really?
Yes.
She like it buttered?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
man.
Toast is like one of the new food trends in like L.A.
Toast?
Yeah. You know how they have, every once in a while you get like, there's always that weird genre of food that becomes hot for like a year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it'll be like, you know, cronuts were the thing for a while. And like, and they just take the... They take the normal food and kind of elevate it to that ridiculous level, right. And you're paying like $27 for a donut, and you're like, why am I doing this?
Because it's toasted.
So, toast is,
do you elevate toast?
So I guess there's an art to this. And toast is not just, you can put a little butter on there. Mm-hmm. One of the things I did pick up from reading about this, and I led this to you now, is you toast the bread. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, what? First of all, thickness of bread is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of bread is it? Do you get the grains? Do you like white? Do you like the whole wheat? What do you like?
How much toast? How much are you toasting it?
Yeah, how much are you toasting it?
People like
a big,
it toasted
big
range. Window, yeah.
I purchased a toaster recently that has several different options on this front, not just the normal dial on the bottom, but also a bit more. And a bit more button. So it comes up and it's not light enough. You go, a bit more, please. And it goes down and takes it down for a minute and it comes back up. And then also lift and see. So you can press a button and it lifts it up for you so you can see it to see if you want to go down or not.
They're just titling those things now. They all had it before.
No, they didn't have that. You had to press the stupid thing and it would pop up and it would come out of the toaster. This mm-hmm. This takes them gracefully out of the toaster. This is what you get for being on TV every day. You get to buy toasters that will slowly move your toast out of the toaster.
Wow. A bit more.
But the toast place, and I've adopted this a little bit in my own life. Which is, you get the toast, you toast it to the level you want, you put the butter on it, it gets all nice and melty, and then sprinkle a little sea salt or Himalayan salt on top. So you get a little salt on top of your toast. Oh, it improves it quite a bit, Pat.
Salted toast.
Salt on the toast.
Really?
Try it at home. Salt on the toast.
It's
delicious.
You put a little extra on it. I mean, most butter.
Right, there's going to be some in there
butter,
anyway.
Butter on it, it's got salt.
It's going to have some in there anyway, but you put a little extra, so you get little crystals on top.
Plus the Himalayan. Rock salt is world class.
I don't know. Like this is how you can tell capitalism works. Is the fact that, I mean, salt was in everybody. Like the same Morton salt was in your cabinet for 100 years.
Well, you still
years.
Have that,
right? And it's still there if you want it. But now it's like I would rather spend $18 on salt, but I have to grind myself, please. And you'll be like. And I don't know why now it's in my head. That's the salt you use.
Yeah.
When I go to restaurants.
It's got to be sea salt for my wife.
Yeah, sea salt. Okay, yeah, because is that a real, is there a reason for that? Or is it?
I don't
just,
know.
Just because I think that's what I am too. And it's like I have to have some sort of crazy salt. We have the pink Himalayan salt.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know what the difference is.
And I got news
is.
For you, Stu. It ain't just 18 bucks.
Really? God, I don't want to know how much the salt is. My point, though, is that because you'll spend anything on that if you think it's 1% better. And
absolutely.
That's how you know capitalism works.
Absolutely.
If you're there, you're like, you know what? This salt tastes 1% better in some unmeasurable way. Like, I can't tell why it's 1% better, but it's 1% better. Let me spend 30 times the
why
cost.
Why you think it's 1% better is because you went to, this is where I got hooked on the Himalayan salt. I went to whatever the name of the restaurant is at the Hard Rock Casino, their fancy-smancy Hard Rock Casino restaurant. Mm-hmm. And when they serve you with their lobster and mac and cheese and everything else that's delicious, they also bring out their, and here's a cup of our Himalayan rock salt. And this will add to your flavor. And so it's not just the salt, it's the other food ingredients, but the salt in your house is going to make all that other food taste just as good as those.
I mean, that's not true, but I do believe it. And I want to say, when I go to a restaurant, exactly like, and they have the normal salt, I'm like,
oh, come on now.
I think, why? Who cares what I'm salt is?
I'm definitely like that with pepper, but not because it's got to be
pepper too.
Yes. It's got to be fresh ground pepper.
Yes.
It has to be fresh ground pepper.
The old school, from like the pepper powder
corns.
Pepper?
We pour the pepper corns in and grind it every single time. I can't do the salt, the pepper in the store.
It's so weird because it comes out as like powder.
Yes.
And it's like, you pour a little of the pepper out, it just kind of blows away in the wind. Because it's so.
You come into the diners, you know, with the little plastic or glass salt and pepper shakers. Yeah. Like, what are we living in caveman days?
It's like, wait a minute, it's the same crap. But there's something about, like, I want to have the big pieces of pepper. Mm-hmm. I want to see them all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't know. You get down these weird roads, man. And I don't know when that happened. When did I say, I don't remember at any point being like, oh, you know what, no longer with this salt. But now when I see it, I'm just like instantly disappointed.
I think it happened about around the same time we started paying $1.50 for water.
Yeah, that's if you're lucky.
That's probably true.
If you're freaking lucky, it's $1.50.
It's $2.35, $2.95.
Whatever, yeah. I'll pay the $3 a bottle as long as I can open it without spilling it on myself. I'm fine.
I know happened that. To me again. There's one bottling company that fills it all the way past the top and then crams
and
the
it's not that, it's the, lid on. It's the
and simultaneously
thickness of the
makes the plastic
the
so
garbage thin,
what
recycled plastic. I will not buy that kind.
I think it drives me crazy.
Is it Nestle that does that?
I was sitting on my.
They need to be called out, whoever it is.
I'm sitting
and
on
it's
my.
Terrible.
Well, the Kroger and the Kroger brand also is a little frustrating. They have the really thin.
Well, that is I don't know which agonizing. What brand it is. I honestly don't know. But I was sitting on my couch the other day, and I've got my computer, and I'm typing as I'm watching probably my 600-pound life. And I have the bottle of water sitting next to me because, it's nice and sealed.
Yes.
So I take it over and I go like this. And, of course, as soon as I open it, all over my computer. Yeah. It's like, what human being? All these companies do research.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell do they think that the best idea is to have it filled? Because it's costing them money to fill the extra inch.
Uh-huh.
Why fill it that much?
I don't know. It's
and then I understand they're saving money with the plastic, which I don't
the
believe
recycling,
is environmental
well,
at all.
Well, it's the recycled plastic, right? I mean, it's extra thin. That's what they've getting
it's
out
terrible,
of
it. It's terrible, Jeffy. I hate it.
You know what else they're doing, too?
And yet, but let me make this point. And yet, a bag of potato chips will be about one-third full and this much air.
Yes.
That pisses me off.
You know what else they're doing, too?
These what?
Damn convenience stores are changing the thickness of their coffee cups. You know who you are, QT.
Wow, that's a specific
man, that
call
pisses
out.
Me wow.
And because did we ever try, by the way, I don't mean to...
No, that just ticks me off.
Did we ever try the spicy Southwestern queso potato chips?
No. I don't know.
We may have.
We tried something
like
with... Oh, no, it was Pringles. We did the Pringles ones. We did not do the Lay's. I may have tried the Lay's this weekend. Delicious. So if that one's on the docket coming up, you don't need to do that one. Or you can bring it in for Pat and Jeffy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind trying it.
We
tried the Pringles ones. We did not try.
Okay.
And by the way, on Spoons today.
Steak and lobster.
Steak and lobster.
What is it?
Cherry limeade peeps.
Cherry limeade peeps. First of all, I can't eat those. Second of all, cherry limeade peeps.
That's a shame. You won't be able to eat one?
Darn it.
Pat, we...
Dang it.
I hate that one. Oh,
darn.
I don't like either of you.
Stew!
Darn, if only.
So coming up, peeps, we've got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. And we have even more good stuff for you because...
That wasn't any of it. We just did a completely different break that had nothing to do with what we were supposed to talk about. So we have all that stuff to talk to you about, too.
And more. Mm-hmm. And this. Mm-hmm. Because your current phone carrier is probably doing things that... You don't want them to do behind your back, like undermining your beliefs, spending $80 million to try to remove conservatives from office.
So just the $80 million?
Just $80 million.
Oh, that's not
100 maybe sometimes, $150 million.
I mean, because think about that. There's a good chance that some of that money was yours, going to some organization you don't believe in. The fact that you wake up every day and talk to people at work and try to, convince them that your values are the right values, and at the same time, you're sending money to your phone company who's donating it to the people supplying your friends on Facebook with the BS information that they use.
You're just a bad person. You're just that's all there is to it.
I don't think he probably knew.
Well, there's a way to pull out of that. I mean, if you don't want to be a bad person, you can call Patriot Mobile today because they offer nationwide talk and text with high speed 4G LTE data, competitive prices. They'll donate 5% of your monthly bill to a conservative organization that you choose.
Now, Patriot Mobile is not capable of absolving you of all your sins. For example, if you're Jeffy and you've spent an entire lifetime being awful in every way, this is not going to, I mean, this is one little bit that can help, but it's not going to absolve you from all your sins.
It might pull you out of South Hell and get you to the northern parts.
Yeah, or maybe you get, yeah.
Maybe somewhere in there.
Or at least maybe mid-hell.
Why do I want to go to North Hill?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Patriot Mobile will buy out your current contract because they really want you as a customer, and they give you good quality service, and they can support the values you like.
What do they pay, like $30 to get me out of my contract?
No, more than that.
Oh, wow.
No, 40? No way.
More than that.
50.
10 times that. $500 in credits. And yes, you can keep your phone number and get your great nationwide coverage, all while supporting the conservative values you care about.
So call Patriot Mobile right now. They're going to waive your $35 activation fee if you give them the promo code Pat and Stu. Pat and Stu. So go to patriotmobile.com/Pat and Stu, patriotmobile.com/Pat and Stu, or 1-800-A-PATRIOT. 1-800-A-PATRIOT. Jeffy found and felt like sharing with us, so we don't have to talk anymore.
Welcome to Pat and Stu. You know, while Donald Trump spoke last week in his wonderful speech, Fort Worth, Texas, held a little meeting with their school board and their ISD, and they had a great evening. First, they were struggling with, we didn't get that many people to come out on a Tuesday night when the President of the United States was speaking. Big kind of a surprise there. And they also gave, that's mostly symbolic, but it also, you know, ensures the public schools are an environment safe, welcoming, and inclusive for all students and families, regardless of their immigration status.
Oh, how wonderful.
Now, when asked, one of our local news stations, who was there, by the way, and we're going to play a clip from one of the local ladies who were there, and she was, man, she is.
Local ladies.
One of the local ladies that
I like
was
how
there.
You put that.
The man on the street, we also met that he really believes that everyone deserves an education no matter what.
No matter where you come from, the color of your skin, every child deserves that education.
No, I'm sorry, they don't.
The education provided by our tax dollars?
Yeah,
or just an education?
We have no responsibility to pay for Mexicans or Ecuadorians or Irish people who come here illegally and take advantage of our system, and we pay for it all. No, I'm sorry. No, they don't. They don't have that right.
Yeah, I mean, they might have the right to that education in the country.
In their
they were
own
in.
Country.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever.
Listen,
I mean, I don't know.
According to Dr. Ann Sutherland, people are frightened not only for themselves,
good,
but for other people they know.
Good.
And they were commenting on that at the board, and we had one of the local ladies comment on it too. And this could turn into one of my favorite new clips.
Let's see.
Children, just in my neighborhood, are potentially laying their heads down at night, worried about losing someone in their family to deportation.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, they're potentially?
Children are potential.
They're not. We don't know that they're actually worried, but we are. They
Absolutely.
Could potentially
this is
be
a fantastic
worried.
Fantastic clip. Yes, we could. You could break it down. You could go through it because she's concerned that there's children in her neighborhood who are potentially going to lay their head on the pillow.
Children in our neighborhood potentially worried about the boogeyman, too. That doesn't mean that the boogeyman's going to come and get them. They shouldn't worry about it because deportations are hardly ever happening, for one thing. Out of the 20 million that are here illegally, a fraction of that is deported every year. We deport, I forget what the number was, 100,000? Is it even that high?
I think it was a couple million throughout the entire presidency.
Yeah, through the presidency. It's
Barack Obama.
You know, 200,000 a year.
Well, I mean, in Fort Worth School District, the ISD, 53,000 Fort Worth students, 63% identify as Hispanic. All right. So board members, they shot down at this meeting that ICE agents have been in and around school campuses looking for undocumented students.
God.
That's just not happening.
I mean, because
the other thing is, if I'm in Mexico illegally, I should be scared that the Mexican authorities are going to find me and deport me from their country.
You should be.
And if I've got my family there and we're all living there together, how many Mexicans do you think give a rat's ass if I'm scared or my kids are scared?
Not a one.
Not
and nor should
one.
They.
Not a one.
Nor should they care.
No.
Nor should we. Why are we the only country on earth that has to concern ourselves with how they feel for breaking our laws?
And quick question here, Pat, honestly. If you were in Mexico and you brought your family there to live there and to put them in that situation, would you be a good parent or a bad parent?
I'd be a bad parent. I'd be a bad parent. I'm sorry.
Would you be putting your kids in that situation?
No, I would not.
No. I don't think I would either. Now, look, I understand the motivation, and I understand also the reason why a lot of these people do come up across the border, and they're not just from Mexico, from all over the world, largely because we haven't treated the problem seriously. So, yes, they see it the same way Pat Gray sees stop signs, optional. You know, they see it as like, if I get caught, maybe I get a ticket. Maybe I'll get a fine. Maybe they'll get a slap on the wrist. Maybe I'll have to go across the border and then come back in. They don't see it as being taken seriously. And, of course, that's what Trump is getting out of this, which they're saying that now some border crossings are down before they've even started to implement it because they believe Trump is going to take it seriously, even though he has outwardly said, hey, we need comprehensive immigration reform. The same crap that Marco Rubio and John McCain wanted to push on us, Trump has said he wants.
They're worried, those. They're worried, those two. And they're worried, just like this lady was in Fort Worth. People are scared. People are scared, Stu.
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, Pat put it, it's true. I don't like the idea that children might be scared. But you know what? Families should be scared. If you brought your kids here illegally, then, you know, you probably should be scared.
It's
now, if
fault.
You had the kids here, if you had the children in the country, they're going to be citizens.
Yeah, they don't need to be scared.
They don't need to be scared, though they'd have to probably stay with, you know, because their parents could be deported. And they're like, well, that's going to disassemble families. Yeah, whenever you have an illegal...
Not necessarily.
When you commit a crime, typically what happens is you're going to be separated from your family because you're going to have to go to prison.
Happens
here,
every
you
day
actually
to American citizens.
It's a much better
happens
situation
every day.
Yep.
And the thing is, if you're separated or if you're found and you're deported, you can take your family with you.
Yeah,
I guarantee
your choosing.
You ICE will let you take your family with you.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the where Stu was headed. That's a big difference between going to prison and being separated rather than just saying, hey, we're going to send you back to your country of origin. Guess what? Take your family with you. Have a nice day.
Right.
Take care.
It's your choice. It's not our responsibility.
Maddening.
Yeah, we got to get a grip on this.
Okay. Yeah. Also today, just before we go to break, just one last little break, just to calm you down just a little bit. I know that you said spoons today was peeps.
Yeah.
But today, after all that we do for the Nabisco company, today alone is the National Oreo Cookie Day. Why are we not having Oreos today? National Oreo Cookie Day.
Poor Marissa. All you do every time we have Oreos is complain that we're having Oreos again. And now the one time we're not having Oreos, you're saying we need Oreos.
I'm just saying, Stu.
I also heard it was
National... I was ready to celebrate by grabbing a glass of milk and a handful of Oreos, but...
Damn milks.
I know.
I actually heard it was a National Cheese Puff Day or something, too, today or yesterday. Do you know, Jeffy?
I don't know that to be true today. I mean, I'm sorry.
Because it couldn't be both Cheese Puff Day and Oreo Day, right?
I don't know.
Normally, I'd be like, well...
This is America.
It is, and we don't like to just...
We're a pretty... We like to jam-pack our days full of things.
We do. We know that was yesterday. Yeah, that was...
Okay.
That was yesterday.
Cheese doodle day yesterday. Today.
Celebrate however you want on the weekend. I'm just talking about Monday through Friday here on the Pat and Stu Show.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Or Monday through Thursday.
888-727 back. More Pat and Stu coming up in a minute.
Wait, I'm here on Friday. Where are you guys?
You do? Oh, that's right. Jeffy does our show for us on Friday. Remember the one we air to all of our affiliates? And that's on Dish. All right.
Okay.
Here we are on National Oreo Day, so we're going to be taste testing the cherry limeade tweet peeps.
which makes no sense. Actually, we do have...
I know, she pulled some Oreos out of the hat.
Here we go. We have a roster of foods that are built up for spoons that Marissa acquires, and we have birthday cake Oreos, which were planned for another day. However, do we do those today since it's National Oreo Day?
I mean, we pretty much have to, right?
So we'll keep the peeps for another day?
Or we could eat them both.
We could eat them both.
What if we ate them both?
We could eat them both.
Especially since you can't eat the peeps, which I'm devastated
since you can't eat the peeps.
All right, let's start with the peeps.
Wait, does that mean that gives you something to eat then if we do both?
Yes. So, now, we have a bunch of Easter candy type stuff building up over the next couple weeks that we'll be trying. So there's a lot to try as far as the Easter candy goes.
Okay, so these are what flavor?
What is on
cherry,
the bottom?
Cherry limeade?
Yeah, some
cherry
kind of limeade.
It's like a lime chocolate almost.
And so, obviously... Stu can't have these because there's some sort of animal product
bone
in it.
Dust.
Bone dust inside, man.
Or gelatin, one of the two.
Bone dust or gelatin apparently make up marshmallows, and so we're going to...
Let's break it up. Ooh, the chocolate just broke right apart. Good, too.
I got to say, thanks for the English there, Jeffy. I think the idea of the fruity combined with marshmallow kind of sounds like it would be pretty good.
You know who usually does this? Mexico. This is a Mexican product.
Really?
I bet you.
Why do you say that?
Did you get this at a Mexican grocery store?
No, I think these
Marissa?
Are. I think there's
Target?
A bunch of Target. I know there's a
it's pretty close to a Mexican.
Does that not taste like Mexico?
It does. Yeah.
This is what they do all the time, and you go into a specialty store.
Pretty good though.
Like Fiesta.
Yes.
You ever been to a Fiesta?
I've never been in one. I've seen them before though.
They have this kind of stuff all the time.
So the fruity marshmallow thing, you get a fruit burst, then a creamy burst. It sounds like it might be pretty good.
Big time fruit burst.
Pretty good.
Or? Really lime.
It's good.
Very strong.
You should try it.
If you like lemonade or limeade, you'd probably like this.
All right, scale of 1 to 18, the Jeffy scale. The highest number he can count to is 18, so we go on that scale. Jeffy, what would you give the peeps?
I don't know.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Yeah. 8 out of 18, not too high?
Yeah, that's about right, 8.
Nine. Okay. We also have birthday cake Oreos. Now, the birthday cake Oreo is going to have the golden Oreo
shell. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm a fan of. I like the golden Oreo shell.
Those bad boys are world class.
Inside, you're going to have a birthday cake flavored cream with like some little bits of sprinkles. Or I don't know if they're actually bits of sprinkles, but they're supposed to represent
some sprinkles.
They smell like birthday cake. Let's give it in context, full bite. Cookie and cream.
Oh, they do.
I mean, to detect a difference between this and a normal golden Oreo is a bit of a stretch. I mean,
I got the multicolored frosting.
Right. Well, but is it more than that? I'll say it's a normal golden Oreo cookie. No difference there.
Yeah.
And try the cream here by itself. It's always a key moment in an Oreo taste test.
I don't think there's any birthday cake taste to it. Do you? Maybe a little bit. Maybe just a hint of it.
Yeah, not much. I mean, golden Oreos are good anyway. I like golden Oreos, but the difference between these and normal golden Oreos is very minimal.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 18, I like golden Oreos anyway.
I do too.
What do you give it? I'll give mine a 9.
9?
Uh-huh.
I'll go a little higher. I'll go an 11.
Oh, yeah, these are 10 or 11 anyway.
Which one?
10 or 11. They're in there somewhere.
Right in there somewhere.
All right, before we take a break here, let's...
Can we get to Alex Jones real
Yeah, because this
quick?
Is important. Alex Jones talking to you about what you need to know about his outbursts. And it's pretty interesting. Vice picked this up. Watch.
Here it is.
We're going to beat your ass. You just get that through your stinking traitors' heads. Excuse me, I apologize. We have a lot of Christian affiliates. I am a Christian. But I will stomp your head in if you start a fight with me, you thug scum. Anyways, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Bunch of cowards. Excuse me. I'm going to control myself right now. She is a demon damned to hell. Excuse me. I've been trying to control myself, trying to be professional about this. But at a certain point, I just am just really getting pissed. Just excuse me. We're not going to have Pepsi with baby flavoring in it. I mean, what the hell have we become? Excuse me. If I didn't have a liberal from New York in the bathroom, I couldn't wipe my Excuse me. I apologize. We have a family audience. That was wrong, and I won't do it again. You think I'm a coward like you? I'm sorry. You dishonorable, cowardly pieces of garbage.
I'm a little disappointed.
Excuse me. Coming for you. Coming for you. We know what you're doing.
Wow. I'm a little disappointed we're not going to have.
Manipulative lying crap.
This never ends.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh, excuse me. I'm burning hell. Excuse me. This is a time bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
If there were any. You're a big tough guy, buddy. You just rammed into me. Ah, how do you like that? Now hit me in the face and see what happens, punk. I'm sorry. There's an attack on the species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated.
The guild of psychopaths? Yeah.
I'm going to settle down. Excuse me.
Wow, that was tremendous.
I'm a little saddened by the fact that there's no baby-flavored Pepsi.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
I'm a little bummed.
That would be a good spoon segment,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it would. You'd have to try it.
Back with more in a second.
Well, okay, Glenn, David, and Jeremy are unpacking artifacts just arriving at the vault, and this includes weapons from the Revolutionary War. Another episode of The Vault.
Okay, David, this is John Marshall.
John Marshall, Chief Justice, U.S. Supreme Court.
What year?
This is, what was this? 1819, I think. I think it was 1819.
Good guy, bad guy?
Yes.
This is 1820.
1820. He's good guy and bad guy, depends on what your viewpoint is. His moral character and such was good. He was an aide to George Washington during the American Revolution. He was a Federalist, which meant he was pretty big government, and he was, in that sense, a guy that kind of introduced judicial activism. Mm. But look at the content of the letter. Can you read that?
It's barely. I have deferred making any acknowledgement for your polite attention in favoring me with a copy of your discourse. Other religion?
On the religion?
On the religion of the
Indians.
Indian tribes of North America. Until I would give it attention.
Now I can
something.
I can help you sheet because
what's he saying?
We typed it out here, so you can read it. Read it here.
Until I could give it an attention perusal, I have now had that gratification. The subject is interesting and furnishes much matter for reflection. The religion of these untaught children of the forest partakers less of gross idolatry than has been generally supposed. It's a matter of curious observation that the original theory or creed of these ignorant savages approaches so nearly that of the most polished and enlightened nations, while unaided by revelation. Man left to himself seems at all times to have formed nearly the same system respecting the Creator of all things and some future state of rewards and punishment. There seems to be some sentiment expressed on our impressed on our minds by the divine hand which produces nearly the same results in all created beings. Except, sir, my many thanks for the pleasure of having received from the very interesting view you have taken on this subject and belief me to be, with great respect, your obedient John Marshall.
That's heavy stuff. Whether you're really highly educated or have no education at all, how is it everybody comes to the conclusion there's a creator and that there's a future state of rewards and punishments? Divine hand did
and this
that.
Also, this also says that these are not ignorant savages.
No, he's doing that in air quotes.
Yeah.
These so-called ignorant savages reach the same conclusions you're really smart people do.
Yes.
And by the way,
that's what we're told that point of view is not.
That's right.
Yeah.
And about 3 years later, he uses that same rhetoric in one of his decisions. So this actually ends up being part of a belief that he expressed other times as well. Now, you were having trouble reading that. I think I can help you if you will put some reading glasses on. If you'll,
who's reading glasses?
These are magnification reading glasses. If you want to put those on now,
careful, man. They kind of fit. Except he had a short head.
Do you feel presidential right now? You should. I do.
I want to do some executive order right now.
Well, you've got the glasses of Zachary Taylor, President Zachary Taylor. So you're now with a presidential glass. And if you want to really feel like a president, you go right back there and sit down in his chair because that's the.
Okay, please don't sit in the chair,
anybody sits in that chair, we'll throw them out. But that is the.
We should have this redone.
Exactly.
Wow.
So this was in the White House, is prior to the Resolute Desk.
Well, they didn't have, even when they had the Resolute Desk.
It went.
It wasn't until John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this sat in the Oval Office?
I don't know if it was in the Oval.
Did they have the Oval then?
Yes.
They did?
Yes.
So it was part of the White House as part of the provenance on it.
So President Zachary Taylor, and by the way, he is the first and only. Now we can't say only. He's the first president to have had no political affiliation before being elected. Now, Trump is the second one that has no real political affiliation, but Trump is the first one to have neither a political affiliation or military service record. He was a general. He was the guy who did the war with Mexico in 1846 to 48. 1851, he becomes president of the United States as a war hero.
So, David, how come this wasn't scooped up by Jackie Kennedy? When she went and redid, she searched high and low for all the original furniture.
Probably some family member had it at that point in time, didn't let go of it then, but it may have descended to grandkids who don't care about it. They may have sold it. No telling what the reason was. I don't know what there's probably a reason. I don't know what it was here. But this...
It would be interesting. Would it hurt, Jeremy, do you know? Would it hurt to, if you could remake the fabric, to gently take this fabric off, keep it, but
that I would have to do some research on it. I don't know. And if you look...
It's bizarre fabric.
It is. It's all hand-woven type of stuff. And you would not want to replace it because the fact that it's original and that this is the way it is since he was there is what helps add the value to it as well. Now, if you were going to sit in it and display it, you could make it look better, but you get the same thing here by having the original. If you're going
like
to use
to put
it,
just
different.
A really nice string right out here that says "Do not sit."
Well, actually, we're going to have a big band around it, the stanchions around.
You know,
it.
You know, what helps is the Nazi interrogation chair we have. You just put some straps on it, and then everybody's like, "I don't want to sit in that chair." That's great.
So that's
great, great, great.
President Zachary Taylor.
Proclamation, a Thanksgiving proclamation.
This is just various examples.
Put this away, yeah.
This one happens to be from Massachusetts, and it's 1884. And it's if you can imagine, calling the state of Massachusetts in 1884 to fasting and prayer. And this was an annual practice in Massachusetts.
Now, where would these hang?
This is called a broadside, and they would hang this around a tree. They would hang it on the side of a building. I mean, this is what you put up for a billboard. This is your billboard back then. So as you're riding into town on a horse, you see it coming into town, it'll be on the side of the livery stable, it'll be on the side of the general store. This is how you get word out. And so to this, it's only recently, relatively recently, that Massachusetts has changed this. But April 15th is the annual day of prayer and fasting. Today they call it Patriot Day. They still have the day, but Patriot Day in Massachusetts was the annual day of prayer and fasting. And once a year, you had a day of prayer and fasting in Massachusetts until
Isn't that interesting? That's the day of the Boston bombing.
Wow.
For the Boston Marathon bombing was
April
Patriot
15th.
Day.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's Patriot Day. Here's another one. This is a smaller broadside. This is by President of the United States, one of your favorites, Woodrow Wilson.
19. Jeez. But such a fraud.
But what's interesting is we still had a common culture at that time.
He hated this, but it showed that the president had to. It was so strong in the culture that the president had to do this.
Has to acknowledge. This is where the people are. This is where the nation is. This is our history. Today, oh no, we've always been secular.
So David, argue the case with me, because this is what I would think. You know, you could argue, they only said this using Woodrow Wilson. They only did these things because it was so strong in the culture. But our founders weren't really like this.
Well, let's take the same logic you started with. It's so strong in the culture. The founders, by 1815, had done 1,400 government-issued calls to prayer. Now, that's a whole lot more than any other generation. Now, why would they have done more? And by the way, theirs are written in their own hand. I have a number of their original proclamations they write out. These are often done by staff members. These later ones like that, I guarantee you Wilson did not write that.
No.
Washington did. As a matter of fact, the chaplains talked about the fact that in Washington's administration, they didn't get to write the proclamations. Washington wrote his own proclamations. And so when you look at those president's proclamations in the early years, they were done by the guys themselves. And you can't be shallow in faith and come up with the rhetoric that they did for the things that they have.
No.